Now, Friday night, you cannot miss Friday night. It's impossible. You can't. The only excuse for missing Friday night is death. But even then, have the funeral home fax us a copy that you're gone. But other than that, I want you to be here because I'm preaching on the subject, why I believe everybody goes to heaven. Now, I know some of you believe folks go to hell and burn forever, but that's not true. Everybody's going to heaven. I'm going to tell you again. Everybody's going to heaven. So I want you to be here Friday night. Bring somebody with you. I know you don't believe it. I don't care. I want you to be here Friday night. And don't judge me till you hear the message. But I want you to be sure to come. Let me get right into the thought tonight. Get you back to your places of rest. I know you have work tomorrow. And I appreciate everything this church does for me and loving me and supporting me down through the years. Luke chapter 13, verse number 10. And he was teaching, referring to Jesus, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And he laid hands on her. And immediately, without Benny Hinn, without Oral Roberts, without Jimmy, immediately, she was made straight. And immediately, she glorified God. You know, I've been studying the human body since I was 9 years old, started embalming at the age of 14. The human body has always intrigued me. But one of the most painful limitations that the human body can experience is a deterioration in the skeletal part of our body that would cause us to be bent over. This lady was totally, the Bible said, she was totally bent over in half. This is probably one of the most disgusting human sights that Jesus saw during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. Other people had other diseases and infirmities, but none literally twisted a body in half into the form of a pretzel. I was reading these verses the other day, and the thought came to me in a question form, and I want to preach on this thought tonight from these few verses. Are you bent out of shape with God? Are you bent out of shape with God? She was in church, still been out of shape. The presence of Jesus, still been out of shape. She was in the synagogue, which meant she was a Jew, which meant she belonged to God, still been out of shape. You can be a faithful member of this church, love your pastor, and be born again, and still be bent out of shape in the presence of God. And I don't think we're going anywhere until those of us that are here make sure we're straight with God ourselves. Jesus just liked things being straight. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness with that double-breasted camel's hair coat and a pair of leather breeches and a locust hanging out of his mouth and a jar of honey under each arm, here's what he said. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. God wants his people to be straight. But sometimes through the issues of life, we get bent out of shape. And sometimes we don't even realize it for a long period of time. There are three basic things, according to the Bible, that gets us bent out of shape in our relationship with God. Number one, and this one is foremost, people. People can get you bent out of shape with God. Did you know I've learned the people you help the most are the ones that will hurt you the worst? You know, my daddy used to say, Brother Shankles, there's nothing wrong with this world. It's the people that's living in it. You ever think about how wonderful this world would be if you wasn't here? We'd be a lot better off if you wasn't here. Where you have people, you have problems. And people can get you bent out of shape with God. It could be your own family. It could be your own mate. It could be your children. It could be your parents. It could be at your family gatherings, reunions, which we quit having them years ago because we got tired of going to the state prison to have them because that's where most of my family was. But I'm saying people can get you bent out of shape with God. Number two, problems can get you bent out of shape with God. Job said, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Just as sure as you're alive and you have life, you're going to have problems. And all of us here tonight have situations that I'm sure we wish we could wave a magic wand and change. But you can't allow the stresses and pressures of life to get you bent out of shape with God. Jesus looked at 12 disciples that had apostolic power that no other humans ever had, and he looked at them and he said, be careful lest the cares of this life overcharge you. That means you can get more on you than you can handle. You say, yeah, but the Lord promised not to put more. I didn't say the Lord. I said, we're stupid enough to put more on ourselves than we're able to handle. People can get you bent out of shape. Problems can get you bent out of shape. Pleasure can get you bent out of shape with God. Paul warned us that in the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm not against having a good time. I'm not against you enjoying life, having a hobby, enjoying sports, hunting, fishing, golfing. If you're that bored with life, help yourself. But I'm going to tell you, when that thing gets between you and God, you've now got a problem. When you come to church and all you can talk about is hunting and you can't talk about Jesus, you got a problem. You come to church on Sunday night and all you can talk about NASCAR and you can't talk about Jesus, you got been out of shape. You got a problem. If anything thrills you more than Jesus, that thing's become an idol to you, and eventually it'll get you bent out of shape with God. Are you really straight before God tonight? Are things really right? I mean, honest in the bottom of your soul. Are you really right with God and straight? I want to show you a few things about this lady, and I'm closing. Number one, I want to show you the signs of somebody that's been out of shape with God. I want to show you some evident signs. Number one, notice the length of her problem. Isn't it amazing that this lady had been living in this situation for 18 solid years? But let me tell you something about the length of the problem. If you think she went to bed healthy one night, straight as an arrow, and got up the next morning bent over double, then you don't know anything about deterioration of the body. It's a very slow process. It began 18 years ago. And at the end of 18 years, now she's totally bent over double and her life is in a mess. But see, it all starts ever so slowly. I was studying this in the physical realm, and I found out that this is a deterioration of the backbone. Many people have what we call degenerative disc in their back, and you have problems and it's a painful thing. And sometimes when you begin to degenerate in your back, you don't even realize that you're not as straight as you used to be. This is a long time problem is what I'm trying to say. And I'm telling you, when you start noticing people are being out of shape with God, I promise you that did not happen overnight. They've been leaning the wrong way for a long period of time. And I'm going to tell you, brother, when it first happens, nobody ever may know there's a deterioration going on in your heart and life. But I tell you, after a while, it's going to show up. That's the length of the sign. Notice the look of the sign. Did you know I was reading that the back can have a curvature of almost 7% before it can be noticed by the human eye? She was already been out of shape 7% of her life before anybody else could even look at it and notice it. When she was first been out of shape, folks would look at her and say, well, she looks like she's always looked to me. But after a while, if you don't get straightened out with God, if you don't let the Holy Ghost get you back in line like you need to be, all of a sudden the people start coming in saying, look, I don't know what's wrong, but they ain't as straight as they used to be. Now, I don't know if it's a back problem. I don't know if it's a shoulder problem. But I can tell you one thing, they got a problem. How do you know they got a problem? Because they don't look straight like they used to. Somebody say amen right there. That's how I know some of you got some problems. Because you're not as straight as you used to be. Now, I don't know where your problem's at, and I don't know how long you've had it, but you've had it long enough that other people are starting to notice it now, and that's why you back off, and that's why you come in at the last minute, and you're the first one out. You don't want anybody to see the deformity in your spiritual life. You don't want anybody to notice that you're bent out of shape, and there's something wrong with you. I tell you, there's a look about somebody that's been out of shape with God, because you can tell they're not as straight as they used to be. Now I want you to notice the limitations that happens when you get bent out of shape.
Here's a woman that probably used to be involved in the church. She may have cooked for dinner on the ground. She may have vacuumed the floors, cleaned the toilets, maybe put flowers on the communion table once a month. But all of a sudden, because she's been out of shape with God, she can't be used like she used to. She's not involved like she used to be. She's quit everything that she used to do for God. Everything she used to do for the church, she can't do it anymore because she's so bent out of shape, she's not able to function right. Some of you looking pale. You got the flu back there tonight? I'm going to tell you something, brother. There's more than a virus growing around here tonight. And I'm going to tell you what happens, brother, when people quit singing and when people get out of the choir and they quit playing the instrument and they don't want to go to church and they don't want to sing anymore and they never go to the altar and they never testify and they never pass out a tract and they never try to bring anybody to church and they never have a burden and they don't care anything about the church and they quit tithing and they're unfaithful and nothing else matters to them. I tell you what's wrong. They're bent out of shape. Their problem is not with the church. Their problem's not with a preacher. Their problems with God. They're bent out of shape with God, and it limits their ability to be involved in the things of God. That's the signs of somebody that's been out of shape. Number two, I want to know is the spirit of people when they get bent out of shape. Are y'all still with me? Because if you're not, I just soon go home. We already took the offering tonight, so I know I'm getting paid. I want to show you the spirit of somebody when they're bent out of shape. Verse 16, Jesus said that Satan had her bound. See, when you get bent out of shape with God, you don't have any liberty. You don't have any joy. You don't have any fellowship. You don't have any excitement. You've lost all your zeal. There's no power of God in your life. You're the kind of person that while everybody else is shouting and crying and going to the altar and lifting their hands and running around the building, you're the one sitting there playing with your fingernails. You're the one digging the wax out of your ears with a car key. You're the lady back there looking at a Tupperware book. You're the man back there trying to figure out your bowling average. You're the teenager back there with sucker bites up and down your neck like a wild vacuum cleaner got a hold of you. While other people are rejoicing and enjoying the goodness of God, you're sitting there dead as a hammer, and you don't know what everybody's excited about, and you don't know why everybody's crying, and you don't know why everybody's happy. I tell you why. You've been out of shape. You're out of fellowship with God. All that liberty to worship God is gone. You have been bound up, and you've lost it all. The spirit is you have bondage. Second of all, in your spirit is you get bitter. And you get bitter because you're frustrated, because now you've let the problem get you down so bad, you can't correct it. There was a time when a chiropractor could have helped her. There was a time when she could have probably took calcium and got some help. There was a time when she could exercise and maybe work some of that out. But she kept letting it go on for so long now. Now she's been out of shape with God to the point of no return. She's in church. She's in the presence of Jesus. She's a Jew. She's in the family of God. But she's so messed up now, she can't get straightened out. So what happens is misery loves company. When you get so far gone that you don't think you can get back, here's what you do. You get frustrated at yourself and you start getting bitter toward other people. You start getting critical of everybody else. You start finding fault with everybody that's around you. You start saying things that's not profitable to the church. You start criticizing the song service. You don't like the way Brother Mike plays the guitar. You don't like the fact they called on that one singer twice before they called on this other one once. And somebody put blue toilet paper in the women's bathroom instead of the pink. And there's been a light bulb out for 3 weeks and nobody's ever changed it. I came to church the other day and nobody even opened the door. Brother Watts never even asked me how I was doing. His wife didn't even tell me she was... Shut up! Some of you, bless God, you'd complain during the millennial reign. Your life's so messed up. You're so bent out of shape with God. You'd find fault if John the Baptist was pastoring his church tonight. But I'm going to tell you again, the church ain't your problem. The people on the pew ain't your problem. The members of this church are not the problem. You're bent out of shape with God, and you're frustrated with your life because you're so messed up, you don't know if you can ever get back again. So you just get bitter. You start fault finding with everybody. And then the Bible said her spirit, she was backslid. Now here's how backslid she was. This got a hold of my eye. When she came to the church and Jesus began to deal with her, he had to call her, said, come here. Then when she came to him, the Bible said he put his hands on her. Now here's what that means. She was out of his reach. See, when you get out, been out of shape with God, you start going back. You know, Dr. Percy Ray said in 1963, he said, I've preached all over the world, and I can see the effect and the power of the gospel losing its effect 50 feet from where I'm preaching. Why do you think sinners come in and sit in the back? Notice who's the furthest in the back tonight, the pastor. But you know, when I was lost and I went to church, my God, you wasn't sitting me on the front row. I ain't getting around that stuff. I don't want to be that close. I was afraid he'd touch me. So what happens is when you're not right with God, all of a sudden you go from sitting up front to... Y'all still with me? I've been depressed in evangelism. I have. But never enough to take a church. I've never been depressed enough to pastor in my life. Because God knows I'd kill every one of you in 30 days. But I saw a sign at a church one time that said, come early, get a back seat. And that's what you have to do at a Baptist church. If you want to sit in the back, bless God, you got to get there early. But Brother Tim, if I did ever pastor a church, and I have no plans on doing that, I wouldn't pastor a church during the millennial reign when the curse was lifted. But if I was going to pastor a church, I'd have the back pews hooked up to a button at my pulpit. And when the song service is over, I'd hit that button and the back pews would come to the front and the front ones would go to the back. Bless God, I'd wind that crowd up. I promise you one thing. There'd be one service where I turned it around. But isn't it amazing, before you got saved, you'd go to an old rock and roll or country western concert. Man, give me them best seats. Where's that? Down on the front. Why you want to get on the front? Because I want to get in on it. Well, you go to watch a fight, and I love to fight. And I know it ain't right, but pray for me. But nothing thrills me more than to smack you right in the mouth. I love to fight. Fought 43 times in the ring in my life. Started fighting when I was 13. I'm going to tell you something. Every fight I've ever went to in my life, I wanted what they call ringside seats. I'll tell you why. I didn't want no distractions. I wanted in on what was going on. I think y'all are catching on to me real quick now. Isn't it a strange thing? You go to the NASCAR race, put me down on the front row, buddy, where I can spit my tobacco, drink my beer, and cheer on Jeff Gordon. Little fag sits in a booster seat where he can drive his car. Boy, we go to them cars, man, we want down front. We'll pay extra, don't matter. Why you want down front? I want in on it. But isn't it strange when it comes to church, you want to get in the back? I'm saying there may be a little bit of an inclination. I know everybody can't sit on the front row, and some of you don't want on the front row. But I'm just saying there's an inclination that when you get bent out of shape with God, you start fading back. You want away from that fire. You're scared if you get up front, you might get touched. That's the signs of being bent out of shape with God. The spirit of being bent out of shape with God. Now, I want to show you this quickly because I'm not here to hurt you. I have nothing to gain by hurting you. I want to show you the solution of when you get bent out of shape with God. What do you do when it happens? What do you do when you let something kind of knock you cocksided and next thing you know you're not straight. You want to be. You need to be. So what's the solution to the mess once you get in it? I want to brag on this lady a minute. I don't want to cut her down. She's got enough problems here in these verses. I'll tell you some things she did do right. She stayed in church even when she didn't feel like it. I wonder how many of y'all would go to church if you were literally bent over double. If your chin was on the ground, would you come to church if you walked in the building like this? You know how painful that was to that lady? You know how humiliating that was to that lady? Do you know how public it was? When she come in, she could hear whispers all over the auditorium. Man, is she messed up. You talk about being out of shape. I've never seen anybody that messed up. And in spite of all the humiliation, all the pain, all the effort and all the inconvenience. She said, I'm telling you, I'm in a mess. But I know one thing. If I'm ever going to get straightened out, there's only one place I know to go to get my life straightened out. The doctors can't help me. The psychiatrists can't help me. The social clubs can't help me. The Masons, Mooses, Goose, Elks, Chickens, Buzzards, Flamingos, Gnats, they can't help me. But I know I'm messed up, and I know I'm messed up more than anybody else. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that there's one place I can get a messed up life straightened out. It'll be church! Let me tell you, folks, I don't care how messed up you are tonight. You're in the best place in the world to get your life straightened out again. This is it. It's the best place. Stay in church. Quitting church will only make matters worse. She said, yeah, I'm messed up. It's been a long time coming, but I tell you one thing, I'm going down to church. Second of all, she submitted to his voice. Now, I want to give you something to think about. She's out of his reach. She's way back. She couldn't feel him. She couldn't get a touch. But even though she was beyond his touch, she could still hear his voice. See, here's where some of you are missing it. You're waiting for God to touch you. But you're so far gone, you're not going to get a touch until you respond to his voice. Now, the moment he said, bring her here, she said, I'm a coming. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's saying, I can't believe she's going forward. She's so messed up. Jesus can't straighten her out. She's got so many faults and failures. And my God, look how long she's been messed up. She thinks one trip to the altar is going to straighten her out. She ignored all of that nonsense and said, I heard him call my name. And when she responded to his voice, all of a sudden she felt this touch. The Bible said, and he laid his hands on her. That's what she was looking for. That's what she was waiting on. She said, whoop, I'm going to tell you, I may be so far gone, I'm beyond his touch, but I'm not so far gone that I'm beyond his voice. And if I respond to his voice, I can feel his touch. So immediately she said, I'm going to stay in church. And she said the solution is not only staying in church, but submitting to his voice. And I love this one. She said, Jesus, you don't owe me anything. When she went forward, he didn't say, come on down here, I'm going to heal you. He said, just come on. Hey, you, come here. She didn't know. How did she know he wasn't going to stand up and say, I want you to look at this. This is a piece of trash. This is what happens when you don't listen. How did she know he wasn't going to rebuke her? How did she know he wasn't going to say, look, she's not a representative of this church. Vote her out. She had no idea. But she knew if she's going to get help, she's just going to have to listen to him. And so when she got down forward, he laid his hands on her. 18 years I've been messed up, man. Jesus put his hands on her and said, you're loosed from your infirmity. Lord, it took me 18 years to get in this mess. And in 18 words, you're going to turn it all around. Whoop! 18 years I've been screwed up like this, and you're just going to say a few words about I'm loosed. All of a sudden, she stood up. She said, I can't believe it's this easy. I can't believe it's this easy. I can't believe it's this quick. I don't feel any pain. Nobody had to help me. I don't need a crutch. I don't need exercise. All I did was listen to his voice. Got close enough to feel his touch. He's forgiven me of all my infirmity. I'm straighter than I've ever been in my life. Now watch what she did when he straightened her out. I like this. And immediately, she was made whole. Now, she's got no praise leader. There's no worship team. Nobody's waving a banner shouting now. But I tell you what, when you get straightened out with God, nobody will have to tell you to do it. Just as quick as she straightened out, the Bible said she shouted and gave God the glory. I tell you somebody, when you get straightened out with God, nobody will have to coach you. Nobody will have to push you. Nobody will have to prime you. You'll jump straight up and say, hallelujah, I was messed up, but I got my life straightened out with God. Straightened out with God. By the way, she's the only one shouting. Which shows me that other crowd was screwed up, but just not as bad yet. There may be somebody here in worse shape than you. But I don't care whether you're halfway bent over or all the way bent over. If you're bent out of shape, you need help. And don't look at somebody that's in worse shape than you are to justify the condition that you're in. Well, I've got to close because I'm out of time. You know the pastor. He buys 30 minutes and that's it, and I try to respect that. I'm going to tell you something I learned from this story that helped me in my Christian life. Number one, just because you get straight with God doesn't mean you're straight with man. Because when she got straight, the church people got mad. The Pharisee said, who does he think he is? He helped this lady. He delivered her. He straightened her out. He brought her out of bondage. I'm ticked off about this. Could you imagine being so far from God, you'd get mad because somebody else got some help? Look, forget about getting right with man tonight. Just get right with God. Number two, you got to remember, according to verse 16, it's the devil that's got you bound down. Now, you may blame it on a situation, a problem, a job, a family member. I don't care what you're blaming on. Bottom line is, you've bogged down and been out of shape. The devil's put something in your life and in your path. Number three, getting help is a personal experience that you need to do whether anybody else does or not. Let me close with this. When Jesus gave the invitation to that packed out temple, that synagogue was packed out hearing Jesus preach, only one lady moved during the invitation. Somebody said, man, I'll go forward if somebody else does. Some of y'all use this altar as a scapegoat to sear your conscience for a couple days of revival, then you go right back to the same mess you was in. But I tell you what, when you get straightened out with God, you don't care if anybody else goes to the altar or not. Because it's a one-on-one thing. Number four, and I'm done. Look at verse 17. Now watch what happens because one lady, one stinking lady in the church wants to get straight. And when he had said these things, all the adversaries, all of a sudden all the criticism stopped because they're ashamed of themselves. Now watch this. And all the people. Now remember when she got straightened out, she's the only one shouting. But because she got straightened out, that thing started spreading through the church. And the Bible said, next thing you know, all the people rejoiced. Now watch this. For all the glorious things that were done by him. Now I want to ask you a question. What do you mean all the glorious things done by him? He only did one miracle there. What do you mean all the glorious things? He only did one. But that's plural. Here's what happened. When that woman got straightened out, somebody over there said, if he can straighten her out, he can straighten me out too. Somebody over here said, I'll tell you what, if he can straighten her out, he can straighten me out too. And the teenagers started getting up and saying, if he can straighten mom and dad out, he can straighten me out too. And the next thing you know, everybody in the church got in a state of revival because one person got straightened out. You know what I need tonight? I don't need all of you to come to the altar. I don't even need that. I don't even want that. I need one person that's been out of shape with God to get out of your seat and say, you know what? I'm so far from God, I can't feel his touch, but I heard his voice tonight. And I'm coming tonight, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to get straightened out. And the very one that God's telling to do that right now, if you'll do that, that one will start coming, that one will start coming. And on the first night of this meeting, we can get straightened out and get where we belong so that the power of Christ can rest upon this revival the rest of the week. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Michael, if you'll come, thank you for your time, church. You're such wonderful, precious, godly people. And I don't want to beat you up for being here tonight. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't even want to know. I just want to tell you, you're in the best place in the world to get some help. And I wonder, as Brother Michael sings this song, is there a man, just one? Is there a teenager? Just one. Is there a mama? a grandmama, a daughter, just one that'll say, preacher, I'm not straight with God. I may not be bent over double and all messed up, but I tell you, I know I'm not where I need to be. If I could get just one to come and let God touch you because you've yielded to His voice, revival could break out at Hilltop. The pressure of this meeting is not on me, brother. This don't bother me. Pressure's on you. So while Brother Mike sings, I want to have prayer while you play. Father, I don't even know how to give an invitation sometimes. And this is one of those nights where you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to help somebody to step out of that pew and throw their hands up and say, preacher, it's me. This whole revival is hinging on somebody right now that their heart's about to beat out of their chest because they know they're not right. And it may be so mild now, nobody even knows they've been out of shape, but you do, and you've dealt with them, and they need to come. And if they'll come, this thing will bust wide open. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to speak to them. Give them grace and power to come on this first verse. They need to come right now. Lord, they're listening to your voice, but help them to move up close enough to feel your touch. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed. Now, listen to me right now. You listen to me. Are you the one that needs to come? That's right, ma'am. God bless you. Sing, Brother Mike. Just I appreciate your honesty, ma'am. Anybody else? Preacher, I want to make sure I'm straightened out with God here in this meeting. I want to make sure on Monday night I'm where I need to be with the Lord. Anybody else need to get honest with God tonight? That's right. God bless you, young lady. You say, Brother Ken, if I go to that altar, people will think I'm messed up. I got news. We're all messed up. We all need help every once in a while. That's right. Anybody else? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, young lady. God bless you, young lady. Anybody else? Has God spoke to you? Is this revival hinging on you moving tonight? Come on, man. Come on. You know it's you. You know who you are. I don't even have to tell you who you are. You know who you are. That's right. Look at the tears running down that man's face. God bless you, brother. That's right. I don't care how messed up you are, brother. Pour your heart out. Brother Shekels, pray for that man. That's what I'm talking about right there, brother. Woo! Yes! Somebody else, preacher, I've been out of shape with God. But I tell you, I'm not leaving here till I get straightened out. God brought me here to straighten me out tonight. Is there somebody else? Come on, just as I am. Come on, man. You know this meeting's hinging on you. You say, but preacher, I'm so far gone. But yeah, if God spoke to you, sir, this is your opportunity to get close to Him again. Anybody else? If nobody comes on this verse, I'm done. If you're done, I can't make you come. Come on right now. God bless you, sir. Come on, sir. It's one step away. I don't care how far away you've been. If you'll take that first step, God will make it easy on you. It'll be easy if you'll come. Lamb of God. I'm coming to get this thing straightened out tonight, Lord. Keep singing, Brother Mike, preacher. You want to use the invitation? All right, sing it, brother.
Just as
yes.
I am.
Just as I am.
Without one plea. But that thy blood.
Lord, was shed
for me.
That's right, son. God bless you, young man. May God's hand be upon you,
just
son. Yes, thank God. Nothing like being straightened out with God. Come on, this is your verse.
Rid my soul
of one dark blood
to thee, whose blood can cleanse.
That's right.
He spoke,
O Lamb of God.
Of God I come.
Sing that. first verse, Brother Mike. I love that first verse.
Just as
sing it with us, church.
I am without one plea, but that thy love was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
seated for just a moment. Let me say again, thank you for coming. Service has not even been going for an hour. Can you believe that? And we're getting